What you are about to hear is a collection of moments captured forever in fits of mania, delusion, grandeur, and mystery across my journey from California to Philadelphia over the last 5 days. It was a long journey. I drove sometimes 9, 12 hours, at one point 15 hours a day. I stopped in all kinds of cities. I saw more of the world than I ever thought I would see in my life. And I am here to tell the tale. Enjoy.
And I'm thinking about all these stupid, silly little thoughts, drinking my second Red Bull, and a giant dust devil that it seems like to be as tall as the mountains themselves just springs into existence out in the field. And you know, like, this highway's pretty unpopulated at the moment. It's really just me, and it looks like a few other cars. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden, just this huge dust devil. And it was big. It was a big dust devil. And it felt noteworthy to sort of interrupt myself and pull over to the side of the road and just sort of watch it spin itself out. And it felt like an apt metaphor in some way. I haven't quite found yet what the meaning behind it is or what I can apply it to, but I'll find it. I'll find it and I'll work it into something. Okay? I promise. We're out here, and I'm starting to understand the mindset of somebody who starts a cult. Because if I came out to this desert-ass shit in Utah, and I did a little psychedelic, and I got my butt fingered by some girl I picked up in a gas station, I probably would also convince myself that I was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ and start spouting nonsense like, you know, heal the world through sex and buy my 10 courses. Like, I really do think I can understand that. Do we have an exact number, like an over-under, on how many cult leaders are Pisces? I wonder. Like what's the makeup? Because I know we have a lot of serial killers in the mix. And we also have our Grimeses and our Justin Biebers. But I don't know quite about cult leaders. So if someone has that, maybe I'll look it up at the next press stop. But yeah. I'm out here in Utah pondering the existence of God and my own mortality. I will, hopefully, have updates for you once I reach Colorado. Until then, bye! An unexpected benefit, being a heavily tattooed hot lady, came to me just recently after passing into Colorado. My long trek through Utah came to a close, and as I approached Colorado State sign and made a little quick detour to get my requisite selfie in front of it, I noticed that there were a large group of bikers in their vests and leather outfits and bandanas and all manners of patches and symbols all adorning them, camped out by the sign. And I was like, okay, I am in a pair of booty shorts and a crop top, and my hair is up, and I look, frankly, pretty ridiculous, and also like someone who just stepped out of a, like, meme about California. And so I was like, okay, well, you know what? Let's live a little. And I stepped out, and I go to take a selfie, and almost as if I was Moses parting the Red Sea, they all go, oh, everyone, let's move. She wants to take a photo. And they just moved for me. And I waved, and I said, hi, how are you doing? And they all said, hi, how are you doing? And I made small talk with them while I turned around and snapped a photo for my Instagram story. And I just think that, really, it was a beautiful moment. I hope those bikers get to their destination safe. And I'm sorry that I didn't look too closely at the patches on your jacket to make sure that you were good people. But I'm assuming that you probably are, because you're very friendly with me. So to those bikers, good day to you. Good luck. Safe travels. We're like a few hours out from Denver, and I will be for sure passing the buck out once I arrive. See you next time. So I'm passing through Denver, right? It's broad daylight. And one thing I have to say that has been on my mind since yesterday, is that, like, you have this place that is objectively beautiful, right? You have the Rockies, you have Vail, you have, like, all of Colorado at your disposal, right? And do you know what Americans do with all of that? We put a fucking hole. You know what I mean? Like, do you ever look around and you're like, God, all of this nature, everything that this planet has to offer for us, all of the beauty and the terror and the great unknown, and we're like, you know what this place really needs? A Crumble Cookies and a Home Depot. Just something to think about. Something to think about. Goodbye. I'm not sure people really know this. The looming visage of Dolly Parton just haunts the highways currently for a kindness pass it on campaign. I don't know if people are aware that the that Dolly Parton is sort of doing a Eyes of T.J. Eckelberg thing next to essentially every single abortion, like anti-abortion billboard in the United States. Her billboards are not anti-abortion, but without fail, it'll be like a giant Dolly Parton kindness, pass it on, and like a photo of the most photoshopped I've ever seen Dolly Parton. And then, directly behind it, we are killing babies in like giant, bold, Arial font. It's all something. It all is really something. As a coastal elite, I'm a bit shaken by it. I'm a bit shaken by the terror instilled in the American West. Okay. This will be my last little memo for a while. I have a audiobook of The Wheel of Time, Book 3, The Dragon Reborn, to get through, and I will see you all later. So I'm somewhere in Nebraska right now, and I gotta say, wearing my Philadelphia WrestleMania t-shirt was the correct choice, because I've made friends with just about every man I've met in Nebraska, because of the WrestleMania t-shirt, which has been nice, sort of smooth over relations as I order Subway sandwiches and get gas and buy White Can Monsters. But WrestleMania aside, is there a reason why Katy Perry didn't just say tumbleweed in that song when she said, "You ever feel like a plastic bag?" I mean, if you ever need more of a reason to believe in the alienation of us that live in the city, like, a plastic bag is such an ugly thing to feel like. And a tumbleweed sort of evokes the same thing, right? Like, you're blowing in the wind. I've seen so many I've seen more tumbleweeds in my life than I've ever seen, ever, driving through Colorado and Nebraska. It's just tumbleweeds everywhere. And that sort of evokes the same feeling, but is a bit more romantic, a bit more, like, grounded, you know? I don't want to be a plastic bag. I want to be a tumbleweed. Although maybe that's the divide, right? Like, Lana Del Rey songs are about tumbleweeds and Katy Perry songs are about plastic bags. I think if I kind of position it like that, it makes a lot of sense. Also, can someone explain tumbleweeds to me? Are they like, so they don't like, they're not in the ground, right? Do they grow in the ground and then they reach a point where they blow away? Or are they always blowing? Does that make sense? And then, like, there's, like, a super tumbleweed that all the other tumbleweeds sort of, like, break off, and then they grow into their own super tumbleweed, and then more tumbleweeds break off of that, and they're just, like, always on the move, right? Is that how it works? I don't know. Can someone explain it to me? I am finally back in the ancestral homeland of Iowa. I arrived here about an hour ago, across the river, and I'm sad because I didn't get a picture with the Iowa sign, but it, for the record, was hanging on a bridge over a river, and I just thought, you know, maybe this isn't the place to stop and get my selfie. I've been thinking a lot, though, about Iowa, because I haven't been back here since I was 9. I came for a family reunion shortly after my grandfather died when I was 8. My mom is from here, my grandpa's from here, my grandma's all from here. She was born in Nebraska, but raised most of her life in Iowa. She's one of, like, I think a dozen children, 11, 10 children. He's one of about a dozen. there had only been about 8 left, so by the time I came into the picture, and then very quickly, much less than that, and most of them didn't speak to each other. And so anyways, they had moved out here. My grandpa was in his 20s. My grandma got pregnant with my mom when she was 18. They moved to California, and the rest is pretty much history. But when I was 9, after my grandfather died, we came back to Iowa for the only family reunion I've ever participated in. And I don't remember most of the people that I saw at that reunion because I never saw them again for the rest of my life, nor did they speak to any of us. Every time they saw my mom, they'd call her Hollywood, which is comical considering the fact that I was raised, 6-7 hours from Los Angeles? But to them, the fact that she was part of the California contingent meant that she was some big, famous, fancy lady who was too good for Iowa. So she finally drags us out here, and it was one of the only times I ever took a plane as a kid. And I remember my cousins, and I guess they must have been, my third cousins, and then their kids, fourth, or even your cousins at that point, lived in this big white house. And I remember every time I looked at it, I thought it was, my sister's dollhouse. Just this big white box that someone stuck a roof on top of. And they had a basement, obviously. It's tornado country. And I was in the basement watching the Power Rangers movie, which was one of the only movies that they had on VHS. And it was recorded from the television. So I kept having to get up and skip through the ads manually on the VCR player. They had one of those big old TVs that was like a little tiny screen and then a bunch of TV in the back. TV in the front, party in the back. I was watching Summer House this morning in my hotel, so Kyle Cook's mullet is on my mind, and I'm getting sidetracked. So, I'm sitting there watching the Power Rangers movie, playing Pokemon Crystal on my Game Boy, and one of the many, many cousins removed comes downstairs and is like, "It's getting dark out, we're gonna go play outside." And where I'm from is pretty country, so playing outside as it gets dark isn't the weirdest thing in the world. I thought they were maybe going to make us go on the trampoline they had, but I go outside and it's a bunch of fireflies, which I had never seen at that point in my life, and I'm standing there in wonder as all these little dice lights are dotting around the backyard, and my cousin goes over and is like, "This is what we're going to do." He grabs one of the fireflies with his bare hand, which I remember being impressed by because he just sort of snatched it up out of the air. He brings it over to me, and in the most brutal act of murder I've ever seen another 8-year-old commit, rips its butt off, flings away the alive part of the firefly, and grabs my hand and sticks the little glowy bit on my hand. I'm standing there as this is happening in pure and utter shock for probably only a moment before snatching my hand away, bursting into tears, running inside, and crying as hard as I've probably ever cried in my life in front of my mom, wailing, "I hate it here. I hate Iowa." I went back downstairs, and I remember I continued plugging away at catching Suicune with some Pokeballs because I was too broke to get Ultra Balls, and I had wasted my Master Ball on a Magikarp at my brother's recommendation. And I never came back to Iowa until this very moment. So, kind of a full circle moment for me. I don't think I'm keen on committing firefly murder, but if there are fireflies around, I will maybe take a beat, ponder their existence, and go on with my day. Until next time. Checking in again from Iowa because I have to just say this. I have to get this out, because if I don't get this out, I'm never going to say it, and I'm going to probably forget this moment. But I was driving through Nebraska all day, and it was hellish, just because everything was brown, everything felt dead, the wind was crazier than any wind I've ever experienced, and it was dusty and full of bugs, and it just stretched on forever and ever and ever, and it seemingly never ended. I was all alone on the road, and it just kept going for infinity in every direction, and I was dreading stopping in Iowa because of my complex family ties to the state that have kept us away since I was a kid. And I was dreading it. It was like giving me anxiety all day. I was trying to get out of ways of stopping here, trying to get out of ways of, you know, having to pass through here, looking at different routes, and it was really the only way that made sense. And I'm spending all of Nebraska just dreading it and getting so worked up for no possible reason that made sense to anyone but the little voices in my head. And then I get here, and the sky clears up, and all of the grass is green, and the fields are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Just rolling hills of green, and the windmills, and the pastures, and the peace of the state. I know there's a lot that could be said about all of it, but in that moment, it was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen, finally passing into Iowa properly. And it just felt like a really fitting example of the lessons that I am being forced to learn over the last few years of my life. One of the reasons I'm taking this trip, I got a divorce. I certainly don't talk about it enough for anyone to know that fact about me. And that's irony. It reads probably worse on a voice memo like this. But I have been going through this experience that has felt unending, you know. I put myself into storage over a year ago in January of 2023, and I had no money, I had nowhere to live, I had no job, I had no idea what I was really going to do with my life. It felt like everything had exploded, and I was picking through the debris of some nuclear bomb I had put off willingly. And it was the best choice for me. It was the greatest decision I've ever made in my life, but it was humiliating and scary and sad, and I spent the next year and a half in this period of not just like mourning for the life that I had thought I was going to have, but also completely lost in just fields of gray. I just felt like that moment afterwards was going to last forever. The uncertainty and the not knowing what I was going to do with myself or where I was going to live or when it was going to end, and then things kept popping up over and over again, and it would just be this cycle of feeling like I was nearing the finish line, and I crest the hill, and out stretches another unending field of gray hell before me, having to get a lawyer, and then rehire the lawyer, and step back with the divorce, and the everything just never ended, and the endless amounts of money I poured into it, and all of the things like to complain about through the rest of my drive through Iowa. And then suddenly, it just, one day was over. And I woke up and I was like, oh, that other side is here already. And it is the best time in my life. You know, I woke up one day and suddenly it just was all different. Everything around me was different. Where I lived, my job, what my friends were up to, where I thought my career was going. It was all different. And it was not at all what I thought it was going to be. And in fact, it was a million times better. And I never thought I would connect driving through Nebraska into Iowa on my post-divorce road trip across the country to that feeling of coming out of the fog, depression, and sadness, and grief. But I did it. And it is in a 5-minute voice memo talking to myself in my car while I pass windmills that seem to be the sky, the size of the Empire State Building. So, kids, don't ever let them tell you you can't do it, because I'm sure that you can. And one day, we will all be different. Until next time. Currently driving through Illinois. It is Tuesday. This is the third day of straight driving, but my fourth day overall traveling across the country, if you count driving from California to Nevada. And I have to say, I feel like God is playing tricks on me. It's currently raining out, which is fine enough. The roads have slowed down, which has made things a little less stressful, if you will. But at periodic points along the highway, I see these signs for DQ. And three times now, I've had this hankering for a blizzard from DQ, because I have this memory of being a kid and being on a road trip with my parents to Oregon and making a stop at this Dairy Queen. And I would later stop at that Dairy Queen again when I was on a similar road trip with my aunt when we would go camping up near the border between California and Oregon when I was a kid. And I just was craving it. I was craving fries and a blizzard and something sweet to get me through the rest of the day. And three times now, I've seen a sign for a DQ pulled off and found no DQ in sight. I don't know if this is some ploy to get me into town. I don't know if this is some cruel twist of my eyeballs playing tricks on me, like mirages in the desert, imagining Dairy Queens that aren't there. Or if Dairy Queen is an elaborate scam in just about everywhere but that small one I used to stop at near the Oregon border. But for whatever it is, I will say, the hunt for Dairy Queen continues. Until next time. Gotta say, haven't had the greatest impression of Indiana as I approach Ohio. Not only has it been storming the entire time, a storm that has thoroughly chased me across this entire godforsaken country, I still have not found a Dairy Queen, and just about every billboard I see proclaims that not only is Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, but I don't know the real truth about God, and my favorite one, interrogate the media in big letters. If it wasn't raining and thundering and storming all around me, I would have stopped to take a picture with it because it made me laugh that loud. But I am the media, and as the listeners of my podcast, I am asking all of you to interrogate me, please. I think it'd be just about the funniest thing that has happened to me this week, besides the truck stop that I stopped at in Nebraska that had the slogan, Fat Dogs, by the way, You Are Nowhere. Two now slogans I've picked up on this journey, interrogate the media and You Are Nowhere. I'm going to be thinking about them probably for the rest of my life. Also, fun fact, I don't know if any of you know this. Some of you probably live in Iowa and you're going to say, oh, Joan Summers, you're the stupidest bitch I know. Did you know that Iowa has a chain of gas stations called Come and Go? And it is spelled K-U-M and Go. I swear to you, I died every single time. As I leave Indiana, I'm wishing for those come and goes, an end to this storm, and for me to finally find my fucking Dairy Queen. Until next time. I would like to make an honest and true apology from the bottom of my heart to the state of Ohio for every bad thing I have ever said about it. After the slog of Indiana, it has been a true joyous relief to get to Ohio in these rolling green hills outside Cincinnati, on which there are a few blooming pink trees that are just about the coolest and most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and think to myself all the while that this state is nothing like I have imagined it to be. I've never been to Ohio, but I have made a bunch of jokes at the expense of Ohio, if I'm being completely honest with all of you. It often is the butt of a joke, you know, better to be somewhere else than Ohio. But I'm looking around and I'm struggling to really form a coherent thought about what people must hate about this place so much if it looks like this. I'm sure there are parts of it that are flat and barren like anywhere else there is in this hell country we're all trapped inside of. But approaching from Indiana to Cincinnati, it truly is a lush and vibrant forest full of rolling green hills and the occasional White Castle sign. If that's all there is to Ohio, then I deeply apologize. If it surprises me tonight in Cincinnati, I will apologize again in the morning. Until next time, this is your local Ohio journalist on the ground, Joan Summers.
I didn't record a message for Illinois, so I'm doing so from my hotel room. It's not as fun as in the moment, but in the moment driving through Illinois, I was doing just about everything I could to stay on the road, considering I got caught in a storm. But I will say this. It makes sense that Come On Feel the Illinois is Sufjan Stevens' most melancholy and at times haunting of the state albums. The whole state feels melancholy, and if I was writing an album about it, I would also make something as depressing as Casimir Pulaski Day. That's all.
The dawn of the fifth day, dawn of the final day. I'm making my way across Ohio at about 9:40 a.m. And I have passed not one, not two, but three whole billboards that loudly proclaim holy matrimony, man and woman. And I think it's quaint. I think it is pretty quaint. It brings me back to a time when Republicans didn't know about trans people yet, and the thing that they were most fearful for was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I also just passed a sign for the Ten Commandments and one that reads, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet." There wasn't even something it was advertising. It was advertising the Ten Commandments. It's so funny. Like, who's advertising the Ten Commandments? Press onwards, my fellow Christians. Press fucking onwards on your crusade to nowhere. Until next time. I am just now passing through the northern tip of West Virginia, and my God, I feel like I'm in the Lord of the Rings right now. But that's not really why I leave this message. I wanted to just say that I have moved over 13 times since I turned 18. I have lived all over the Bay Area. I've lived in San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles. And I miss it. I miss it all the time. I miss everything about the Bay Area, and I hate just as many things. But I never really felt home there. I never really felt settled. I always felt like I was let loose on the wind, or like I said in my previous messages, a tumbleweed blowing across the plain. But now that I'm returning to Philadelphia after a week-long jaunt across the United States of America for a variety of reasons, I do feel like, for the first time in my entire life, I am coming home. I've never felt like that about anywhere that I've lived, and Philadelphia is the first, and by God, I hope to live here the rest of my fucking life. I miss everything about Philadelphia. I really do. I miss the smell after it rains. I miss the sound of the trains at night. I miss the river. I miss the guy at the deli who always knows what I want. I miss Clark Park. I miss the view of Center City from my apartment. I miss drinking coffee in Rittenhouse Square and feeling way too bougie for my own good and simultaneously loathing of all the lawyers and finance people that surround me. I miss my roommates. I miss my friends. I miss the DIY shows that I get dragged to on occasion and end up enjoying anyways. I miss all of it. I even miss the army of pronouns that besiege West Philadelphia. I'm so happy to be back almost. I can feel Pennsylvania calling to me. And I gotta say, Philadelphia, maybe the greatest city in the world. Okay, I just had to get it out there. I know it's not as maybe interesting or funny as my other messages, but it had to be said. Until next time, maybe I'll find my Dairy Queen next. Okay, I just passed the Pennsylvania sign. And did you know the slogan on the Pennsylvania sign is "Find Your Happiness"? I really am being made fun of by the universe, I think. That was a joke that completely wrote itself mere minutes after my last message. That's all. Pennsylvania, find your happiness. Until next time, and this time, hopefully, it will be my last.